Welcome back to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We have a full show today. We're basically just going to talk about how the Chiefs had a winning week, even though they didn't play. My name is Quentin Morse. We got Thiz running the show. And now a guy who wishes he could have a winning week despite not getting to work, the old man himself, JP. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, man, you know what? I'm better than I was last week. I got to tell you. Quentin, I know I told you that I thought in my entire life, I never had a cavity, never thought I had, never nothing. I had a tooth that seemed like it was hurting for 3-4 months. Then all of a sudden, my entire upper jaw just was killing me. And my wife says, you got to go to a dentist. So she makes me an appointment. I go to this dentist. He goes, what's going on? I said, I think I got a cavity. He goes, you ever had one? I said, no, but this shit hurts. Something's wrong. I said, my entire face hurts. And he says, well, let me do x-rays. He doesn't. He says, who the fuck told you you had a cavity? I said, my wife. He goes, is she a dentist? I said, no, she plays one on TV. He starts laughing. He said, dude, you don't have a cavity. And I said, okay, why the fuck is everything hurt? I can't sleep. I haven't slept in 2 days. What's up, Will? He goes, what do you mean? I said, I have not fallen asleep. You don't understand. I have to stand up or my face. Everything hurts. It's excruciating.
You really are the old guy.
You know what it was? It was that's what the dentist said. He said, maybe you got an internal crack in a tooth or something. No, I had a fucking sinus infection. One of the worst ones. He said, the doctor said, this has been going on for a while. I said, well, I did have one tooth that I thought was causing me issues. He says, no, he said, it's a sinus infection. So they gave me antibiotics, and for about 5 days, I didn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was put ice on the side of my face, and that hurt worse. Today's the first day that I don't have any pain. So I'm a happy camper right now. I don't know what else to say. It was like insane. I have never went. I've had kidney stones, 31, 34 broken bones. Nothing felt like that. It was insane.
You don't realize how much you use something until it hurts every time you use it. It's like when you can't, you get a sore throat or whatever. Or, when one of your nostrils gets plugged up, yeah. And you don't realize how much you use both your nostrils until you can't use one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was down for the count, man. My dog was worried about me. I had to stand up, bro, all night long one night. If I laid down, the pain was so intense that I just wanted to shoot myself in the face. It was crazy, but I'm great now. I mean, I'm 100%. So good to go. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, Will. What a friggin' week of football.
What a week of football for a week that Kansas City did not play. They are the ultimate winner.
Yes. I mean, leading the AFC.
Yep.
7-2 record. Everybody just shit the bed this weekend that we thought would probably somehow – one of the four teams would squeak out a win, and they didn't. And I'm like, holy shit. I mean, we beat Miami. The Ravens lost. I mean, yeah, the Ravens lost. Cincinnati lost. The Bills lost. They just handed us the AFC. And I'm loving it right now. I mean,
yeah, you want to play if the playoffs started today, what it would be?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, so in the AFC, Chiefs are the 1 seed, Ravens 2, Jaguars 3, Dolphins 4. Those are your AFC division winners. Wild card spot, Steelers, Browns, Texans. So that puts the Bengals are right outside. They're like the on the bubble along with the Colts.
And the Raiders.
Those are your bubble teams at the moment. What?
Did you know that the Raiders are actually in the hunt along with the Broncos now?
They have the Raiders have the same record as the Bills.
Yeah, they can actually be in, though. Yeah. That's my point. Which neither one of us, not we know that. We didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, it's kind of crazy to think about it. There you go. There's the graphics. Chiefs, Ravens, Jaguars, Dolphins, Steelers, Browns, Texans. NFC is the Eagles, Lions, 49ers, Saints, Seahawks, Cowboys, and Vikings. The Vikings are an up-and-coming team with Josh Dobbs. The kid's playing out of his shoes right now. So
it's crazy that over half the teams in the AFC have a winning record.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. Look at that. Look at the, I mean, look at the numbers on both sides. It's kind of crazy to think about it. You know, I think what I love about all of this, look at that. I mean, and you know, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, they're eighth right now in seeding. I love that. I love that. Personally love that.
Remember when I told you that the Bills were frauds this year?
Yeah. Remember when I told you Cincinnati was regressing? Yeah.
I'm really loving that.
Hey, you know what? I was right on board with you, and I tell you, McDermott basically did exactly what I thought he was going to do. And you're right, it does change from week to week. I agree with you, Thiz. It's when you get into this part of the year, it's every week it's going to be different depending on, you know, a lot of things. But I knew the Bills were going to be – they were going to have issues. They had issues. We talked about it prior to the season that – you know, with the Stephon Diggs situation, him not wanting to be there, having problems with Josh Allen, along with other teammates having problems with Josh Allen. Then they put the blame on the offensive coordinator and fired him. That is not the problem. It's McDermott. And McDermott absolutely wet the bed with that 12 men on the field, and then they fire the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, the McDermott, thing I don't understand about firing the offensive coordinator is if you look at some of the advanced metrics in the NBA – and stuff like that, the Bills offense isn't bad. No. It's not. It's actually a pretty efficient offense. The problem is that Josh Allen turns the ball over three times a game, and it gets to a point where eventually you just can't recover from it. I mean, when you throw two picks and drop the ball like it's a game of hot potato, yeah. I mean, you're going to lose games. And he has the most interceptions since entering the league. Yes. I mean,
94 now.
I don't understand why firing your offensive coordinator is supposed to solve your problems, because
that was McDermott playing it.
You're scapegoating him, but
yeah.
On the other hand, it's like, okay, let's say he was the problem. You then just bring in, you upgrade, you promote within your quarterback coach. Now he's your offensive coordinator. How is his philosophy going to be any different than the offensive coordinator you just had?
Exactly. So it's not going to change anything.
No. In fact, I only think it's going to make it worse because now Josh Allen's going to have a different quarterback coach.
Exactly.
So, you know, I look, the Bills sold out over the last 2 years to try and win a Super Bowl, and they failed.
Yep.
And now they are in a point where they have an aging roster full of injuries, and they're getting ready to get to cap hell because they paid Josh Allen, and that Von Miller contract is starting to kick in. And
yes, it is.
You're going to run into some serious cap issues, and you're not going to be able to reload like the other top teams in the AFC. And so you're going to have to rebuild. And it's going to start with firing your head coach because of the poor decision that he continues to make.
Yep. Here, look. I have been saying this for three years. Josh Allen doesn't listen to anyone. He refuses to take the checkdowns. He refuses to take the intermediate passes. He doesn't want to be the guy that actually wins football games because of his intelligence. He wants to win with big bombs and throwing the ball deep downfield, and that's going to kill him. He said Trevon Diggs is trying to get his brother. He absolutely is. Trevon Diggs, he said, my brother's got to get the hell out of there. He said 13's got to get the hell out of there.
he said that Josh Allen wasn't anything until Stephon Diggs showed up. He said, until my brother showed up. So
he's actually not wrong.
No.
Josh Allen was mediocre. His numbers did skyrocket when Diggs got there. But the problem is that Josh Allen can't get out of his own fucking way. And it's that simple. Watching that game last night, I rewatched it. Because I thought I counted it right, but then I wanted to make sure because I am on antibiotics, so I didn't know if I was dreaming. He missed 15 different open receivers in 60 minutes of play that were within 5 to 15 yards to go deep. Or he held on to the ball too long. You cannot win football games like that.
I mean, it was Tom Brady that told him that he needs to start taking more of the easy stuff and stop trying to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, he laughed at him. Because
I think it was because – I don't know if it's because he was – when he was at North Dakota, that's all he knew was just the throw the ball down the field, or maybe it's a coaching thing where it's just not coached out of him. Maybe he's just a stubborn SOB. And yeah, there's the Trayvon Diggs tweet. Yep. Maybe it's that to where you just get that sort of mantra in you, and it's, you can't coach him out of it, or you haven't been able to coach him out of it, but you have to change. You have to change the way you throw the ball. And I'm not saying to, you know, it's not that you can't make those deep throws anymore. It's that when a guy's in triple coverage and you've got a running back open in the flat, a running back that you traded for, your organization traded for, because they wanted to get him more involved in the passing game, maybe you should throw to that guy instead.
Absolutely. Look, they're playing them. They're playing a too high safety shell against them, like they did us pretty much every game. Then they're also double and triple covering every wide receiver on the field, especially the main ones. So then you got a tight end that you're – I mean, I wish to God he played for us, because they don't utilize him correctly. Up until now, they're using him more. But you're putting a lot of pressure on a tight end, a rookie tight end, to be perfect. He's covered a lot. Diggs has covered a lot. It's just not a good – situation there. I said at the beginning of the season that team was in, that had inner turmoil, and you can see it. It's played out exactly like we thought it was going to play out. I can't stand the fact that McDermott used the offensive coordinator as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Same thing Staley did in LA with the Chargers, but both of those coaches are on the hot seat. I don't see, look, man, they have a very slim chance of making the playoffs now. If they don't make the playoffs, he's done. I think he's done anyway. I think he's lost control of his locker room. I just don't see it. And here's something else. You know, I am not the biggest Dak Prescott fan. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he has phenomenal moments in his career, depending on who he's playing or in certain situations. But boy, if you listen to the media, all they do is talk about Dak Prescott's interception rate. Okay, Allen is worse. So why aren't they talking more about Josh Allen's biggest mistakes in life?
Because the Cowboys are a bigger media market. That's why. That's it.
Maybe so. It's just frustrating because I look at Dak and I think, okay, this guy's really trying hard. He doesn't have – he's got one of the best wide receivers in the league, one. But he didn't have a plethora of weapons there that he can just go to it on any dime. And he doesn't have a great signal caller. He doesn't have a great coach, really. He's a very dummy down coach. So then you get into, you're looking at the Bills. Thank you. You look at the Bills and you say, okay, you got a quarterback that was supposed to be the next coming of Mahomes. That's what it was when he first came out. That was going to be the big rivalry. Then it turned into the Joe Burrow rivalry. Next, it's going to be the Lamar Jackson rivalry because he's having a good season. It's one thing after another with all of this, but yet no one is yet to match anything Mahomes has done. Tua, is a more accurate quarterback than probably everybody else, but yet he's still not a good decision maker. He makes bad decisions when he's under pressure. We all know that. You can't expect anyone, any coach, any offensive coordinator, any quarterback coach to be able to coach someone that refuses to listen. And that's where Josh Allen is. I've been saying this for 2 years. He doesn't want to listen. He wants to play his own game. He wants to be the hero. And he's turned into the zero. And I don't know why anyone would think otherwise at this point. I just don't.
Yeah, it's the Bills are heading down a bad path here. And really, I don't see a way out unless they go out and they just have, like two back-to-back great drafts where they can completely rebuild their team. And I just don't see that happening. Let's move on to the Bengals.
I really don't know this. I don't know where they go from this. I really don't. I mean, it's almost to a point of being a rebuild because Diggs is not going to be there.
That's what I mean. They're going to have to rebuild in the draft. because they don't have any cap space to go out and make any moves. So you're going to have to rebuild in the draft, and you have to have two great drafts back to back because your defense is old and falling apart, and your offense, you're going to have to, you know, put more weapons around Josh Allen, something that they've really failed to do to begin with. So
they've but they also have to fix Josh Allen. They have to fix Josh Allen. Yeah.
So they've got, I mean, that whole team, it's not good for Buffalo.
No.
But let's move on to Cincinnati. So the Bengals fell to the Texans. They moved to 5-4 on the year. They are fourth in the AFC North despite having a winning record. And they have so many tiebreakers that they are on the losing end of now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's crazy to think that the Steelers are ahead of them right now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have expected it.
Before the game they played on Sunday, the Steelers were the first team since like 1936 to be outscored or outgained by yardage in every single game and have a winning record.
Correct. And weirdly enough, it was a very strange team. It was the 1933 Cleveland. It had a weird name. Cleveland something. It was whatever Cleveland was called in 1933. I don't remember now.
So let's just go through the Bengals schedule. So they play on Thursday night against the Ravens in Baltimore. That's going to be a hell of a game.
That's going to be a loss.
They've got Ravens, then they've got Steelers in Cincinnati. They've got Jaguars, Colts, Vikings, Steelers, Chiefs, Browns. So I could easily see 4 or 5 losses there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
you'll drop one against the Steelers. You're probably going to lose on Thursday. You hope. I mean, Kansas City, coming to Kansas City on New Year's Eve. And the Browns seem to have the Bengals numbers over the past few years. So there's 4 Jaguars and the other Steelers game. I could totally see, you know, them dropping both of those. And even the Colts are giving a lot of good teams a run for their money. So none of these are any gimme games. And there's a really good chance that just mathematically it becomes impossible for the Bengals to pull themselves out of this because they don't have the tiebreaker against the Ravens, right? Because they already lost one game. So you lose on Thursday and you could basically kiss the division goodbye.
Yep. I see the Ravens winning that division.
They've built a sizable lead.
Yeah, the only way that, and let's hope it doesn't happen, but the only way they're going to lose that division or start to fall apart is if for some reason Jackson gets hurt. He's having a great year. Yeah, it does. And he's having a great year. So the more they keep trying, the worst draft pick. Yeah, you're right. The more they keep trying, the worst draft picks they get. And you're right. They do. It's crazy to think about, but they do.
As long as Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't end up in Cincinnati, I'll be happy.
Well, I tell you, it's kind of a weird conversation to have. But I look at a couple of teams right now. I look at the Patriots, and I look at the Giants. And I know this is not a huge conversation in the NFL. It's pretty frowned upon. But there's no possibility they're not going to tank. You've got the Patriots that really need a quarterback. No doubt. There's two, you know, you got Caleb Williams and then the next guy up. Caleb Williams is, of course, you know, the Chicago Bears have the first round pick right now because of the trade and all that stuff. But if for some reason they're able to get a Caleb Williams or the next guy up, and I can't think of his name right now.
I mean, there's a few. It did.
He plays for Bo Nix.
The guy you've got the Utah kid, the Washington kid. I mean, there's the
Washington kid and the one in Oregon. Both of those guys would be great. But they're no – I mean, you got Caleb Williams. That's the biggest thing is Caleb Williams right now. I think you're looking at a tanking situation. I don't see how Daboll will be in the Giants next year. You go from a winning record and going to the playoffs to this. But looking at Cincinnati, I said they were going to regress at the beginning of the season. regardless of his leg injury or not, they're regressing. He's 100%, and they're still playing terrible. They're not playing great, I'll put it that way. They don't have the strongest defense. Then when you look at it from a perspective going into next season, they're losing two good players. No matter how you look at it, they're not going to be able to pay. Boyd's going to be gone. And then what's his name? The other wide receiver. Chase. Not Chase, but no, the other one. Thiz, help me out here. I can't think of his name. But he's going to be gone. So you got to draft very well. There's no way they can keep both of them. They're not going to be able to keep either one of those guys. So it's going to be a very tough situation for Cincinnati going into next year. But right now, they have, I think one of their wide receivers is injured, and I don't know if he's playing Thursday. Higgins, T. Higgins. He's not going to be there next year. Yeah, he's not going to be there next year. I believe he's the one that's actually injured. Or maybe Tyler Boyd. One of those two is injured right now. He's questionable for Thursday night. Joe Burrow is still the same Joe Burrow. He's a very talented quarterback, but he can't read defenses. He definitely can't read the blitz. Doesn't feel the blitz. This is something that I wanted to bring up to you because I brought it up before, but it's something that most really good quarterbacks have, and that's the sense of the feel. You don't have to be touched. You have to feel the pressure. You have to physically, mentally feel the pressure, not physically. You have to mentally feel that these guys are on you. You have to be able to look at your defense that before the pre-snap. Look at the defense, and then when you have that ball in your hand, you have to see who's missing, whether it be a linebacker or a defensive line guy that was there a half a second before. And if he's not there, you need to start moving the opposite direction. He doesn't feel that pressure. And I think that's a big downfall. Everybody blamed his offensive line, but a lot of that is him. A lot of that is just him not being able to sense when he's under pressure. And that's going to be a downfall of his as well. And it is a downfall of his as well. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback because he's not, but there's certain things that he needs to work on and he's needed to work on really for the last 2 years, and he's not gotten any better at it. So while this is all going on, and then you have an average defense, and then you got a pretty tough schedule coming up, you're playing four of your games are divisional games, and all of your division is ahead of you. That's going to be a tough ride for them. And I don't know how they're going to fare out, man. I really don't.
I think there's a good chance that the Bengals miss the playoffs. I really do. I didn't have that at the beginning of the year. I had them winning their division and the Ravens being in second place. But, you know, they started off slow because of that injury to Joe Burrow's calf, and they just start slow off in general. And now, you know, you're coming on a time crunch here. And if you want to be a team that separates themselves, you can't be right around 500 and in the AFC North. It is a tough division. I mean, they're above 500 and they're last in their division.
Yeah, and look, he said Tyler Boyd dropped the game winning pass yesterday. He absolutely did. And then you're right, Watson is on the way up. He seems like he's heating up a little bit. He's playing a little bit better. He did get injured yesterday.
I'll believe the Watson's going to have to prove it to me before I put anything back inside of that.
Well, he looked better in this. Like,
couldn't have looked much worse.
No, but he looked way better in the second half yesterday than he has all season long.
Yeah, he needs to string together some few good games before I believe anything.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. They're just lucky that they have, if he is heating up and he continues on this trajectory, they're lucky they have who they have on defense.
Yeah, that defense is pretty good. I've heard that heard the Browns compared to the 2015 Broncos.
Yeah. You
know, just this damn good defense, and they've got weapons at, you know, outside the quarterback, and the rest of the team is just dragging this quarterback to a good record. And that's what happened in 2015. A lot of people forget that Peyton Manning's arm, you know, was becoming a limp noodle. Yeah. And it was his football knowledge that, you know, really let that team progress, because he wasn't correct. Putting the team in bad situations. So if the Browns want to contend right now, they're sitting in the sixth spot. So they're sitting at a wild card spot in the AFC playoff picture. They are right below the Steelers, only because the Steelers beat them earlier in the year. So, you know, the Browns are, you got to keep winning these games. Your defense will allow you to do that. Your offensive weapons will allow you to do that. Is your quarterback going to screw you over? That's the big question.
Yeah, that's really what it looks like. I mean, that's the big question. Moving on to the Ravens. What do you think of that game?
The Ravens are still the second best team in the AFC. I got into a disagreement with somebody earlier today about this. I think the Ravens are surprisingly similar to the Chiefs. Except, you know, they have Lamar Jackson and we have Patrick Mahomes. Their weapons are not – their offensive weapons aren't going to scare you. They're not going to blow your doors off. They've got some talent there. They've got a good offensive line. And they've got a defense that, you know, may not have a ton of names on it, but can make plays. And I know that's like as cliche as I could possibly be. But that's what the Ravens are. I mean, that's Ravens football.
It's absolutely
they
true.
They run the ball well. Lamar Jackson, if you're including his total touchdowns, he's got like 20 touchdowns on the year because he has four or five rushing touchdowns on top of what he's thrown the ball. You could say some of his stats are a little diminished because they run the ball so well. You know, Gus Edwards and company, they are a good, well-rounded football team. And this is a team that I do think that Kansas City could face – late in a playoff push here in Kansas City on the Arrowhead Invitational, because that is the second best team in the AFC. And quite honestly, I don't think anybody's close to them. I think all the other teams have significant flaws in them, from the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Jaguars, all of them have significant flaws elsewhere. If you look at the Ravens and go piece by piece, I think they're insanely similar to Kansas City.
They are. Their defense is ranked, I mean, it depends on who you look at. I mean, honestly, the NFL has, I think it's the Cleveland Browns, number one, and we're number two in defense, total defense. Then if you look at ESPN, it's the Cleveland Browns.
It's why I like to organize it top five, because it can fluctuate
so much. But
Kansas City, Baltimore, Cleveland, 49ers, Eagles, and some variation. And all of those teams are in the playoffs right now.
Absolutely.
Most of them in their division.
Here's my thing with I don't like to mix the Eagles in with the top five defense talk, just because outside of the Cowboys, who have they played? I always look at strength of schedule first, and you have to look at – if you're looking at a defense, you have to look at who they're playing. We've shut down everybody we've played, including the Chargers, which – they're a pretty decent football team. They're getting a little bit better. We've shut down the high-flying Miami Dolphins to 14 points. When I look at the Eagles, they played the Cowboys, which is a pretty decent, I mean, above-average offense. I mean, they got one of the best, in fact, arguably probably top three wide receiver in the league in CeeDee Lamb. He makes some amazing catches. He's always open. He runs great routes. I wish we could have got him. It is what it is. I don't know if the Eagles are right there yet for me. We'll know more, really, not even so much after Monday, because unless our offense does what I've heard they're going to do, then, you know, it's really not – you're not really showing a whole lot as far as their defense is concerned. You know, everything – when you look at the offense and defensive line of any team – that's your bread and butter of any team. It all starts right there. It's the push. The push causes chaos. All the pressure causes chaos, and that throws everybody off. I look at the Eagles and I think, okay, similar to last year, they played a couple of decent teams, but for the most part, their schedule's fairly soft. So I can't sit here and go, well, yeah, they're, you know, like last year, we talked about it last year. We played seven number they're ranked fifth. We played seven of those guys. How do you play seven top five defenses? Fluctuates. I know, but it doesn't make sense. If you don't look at strength of schedule, you can't really base what they're doing off of that. You're playing somebody in your division, and you hold them to 6 points, 9 points, 11 points, 14 points. Okay, you're pretty strong because you're playing somebody in your division. I agree with that too. Eagles are still working through things with the deep ball offensively and defensively. I agree with that. Their secondary, I'll tell you, is not that great. It's not. Their secondary is okay, but it's not Chiefs secondary. Definitely not as good as ours.
Who are you talking about?
The Eagles.
Oh, okay. They're Eagles. That's definitely their weakest point on their defense.
Yeah.
They're definitely not as top tier. I'll give you that. That defensive line is insanely good.
It is.
They've got their linebacking core is fine. I mean, I guess you could talk about the Jets being up there, but I just can't really take the Jets seriously. But their defense is definitely an elite part of their group. So I would say, you know, they're
the only part of their group.
They're the one team that has a top level defense that isn't in the playoffs.
Yeah. And won't be. I mean, what have they won so far? How many games have they won? Three? I don't know.
I can pull their, I mean, it's not a lot. I know that they beat the Eagles. I forgot about that.
They did beat the Eagles. I think they've got three wins, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's four, but I don't think it's over four.
Because I know they beat the Broncos.
Yeah, they beat the Eagles. They beat the Broncos. Who else did they beat?
And the Giants.
That's it.
No, wait,
right?
That was in the that was in the preseason. Do they only have two wins?
Oh, this the Jets are 4-5. So they are. They're 4-5. So they've won four games. There you go. I mean, I don't know. Their defense wins their games for them because we know Zach Wilson has not played well.
Zach Wilson is really bad.
Yeah, he's bad. Although you can't – I mean, looking at that game, this last game, you can't put it all on him because there was a lot of mistakes made all around the entire team. But I don't know. Getting back to the Eagles, I just don't – I can't put them in that category just yet because when you're looking at an overall defense, they're lacking – in that area that you really need to. Oh, he lost that locker room, Thiz. Absolutely. I think you have to look at it from a complete perspective. And I don't think the Eagles are a complete defense, not with that secondary. When they go up against elite talent or even above average talent, it's a dogfight. I mean, just like the Cowboys. That was a dogfight. That entire game was a dogfight. You know, it came down to the end, and of course they won by, what, three or four, but the Eagles did. But it shouldn't have gotten to that point, I guess I should say. And if you really look at it, they didn't score a ton of points against the Cowboys. The game wasn't like a, you know, high-flying 40-point game, you know, 40 points for the Eagles type of game. It was, I think it was 27, was it 24? 27-24, 27-23 or something. It was some weird number. It wasn't like a huge blowout type of game. I don't know, man. I look at like the Browns, absolutely they're a top-tier defense. The Chiefs, absolutely a top-tier defense. Because they're good all around. They don't have any missing parts. You know, the Browns have a great linebacking core. They've got a great secondary. They've got a great defensive line. You have to have all three pieces. And I just don't see the Eagles having that right now. That's just, you know, how I look at it. But who knows, man? You know. But moving on, what's next?
We already know about the Dolphins. I feel like we don't need to go into them that much because we spent all of last week talking about them. 2 weeks ago, I guess. The last team that I really want to talk about was the Jaguars.
Weird. It's just weird.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it.
I don't know what else to say. It's just strange. because they, you know, they started off the end of the year last year really strong. They look like they were start off this year really strong, and then they just started to tail off, and it was almost like they lost their identity, and they forgot how to play the game, especially on offense. So I don't really know what happened there. They don't have any injured players. Trevor Lawrence has been throwing some very erratic passes. Now, I know their offensive line has been suspect in a few of these games. If you go back and watch them, Lawrence is pressured a lot. But that's when he has to step up and be able to get away from that pressure to a degree. And he's not doing that. So I don't know where their disconnect is right now. I still feel like they can come on strong towards the end of the season and have a decent play. I would say that they could just very easily be one of the guys that we meet in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, they play,
you know,
the Jaguars, I think you're right. You know, this was a team that was sort of ended on a high note, even though they lost. Trevor Lawrence was improving through the second half of the year last year. And this team just sort of seems to skid a lot. I do think that there's some good talent on there, both on the offensive defensive side of the ball, but it doesn't seem like their quarterback is really putting multiple games together. He'll come out and he'll flash for a little bit and then he'll cool back off. And that's just not what a top talented quarterback should do. I almost just want to put him in sort of that Justin Herbert category where it's like, you see the talent, but it just doesn't seem to be all clicking. And it's interesting, at the very least. I'll say that. So we'll have to wait and see with the Jaguars. Right now, I think the Jaguars are an easy, you know, divisional round exit. They'll beat up on a wild card team, and they'll go to somewhere else, whether it's in Kansas City or Baltimore, wherever, and they'll get smoked out there. I think that's the trajectory the Jaguars on right now. And, I mean, I guess that's we expected whoever won the AFC South to – you know, not be great, I guess, but they're just a very confusing team right now.
They really are. It's just a weird situation. I don't know. AFC West expansion. Let's talk about this a little bit. You got the Denver Broncos. All of a sudden.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos, they're on the up and up, I guess. Congratulations.
They've
won 3 in a row.
They've won 3 games in a row. I don't care about you. Yeah, I know you hate them. I'm not a big proponent of Russell Wilson in any way. Their defense seems to be playing much better than it did the first 6 games of the season. You know, I mean, it's just playing better football. I think, and it kind of irritates me a little bit, because I think we gave them a momentum boost when we lost to them. And it just seems to be, you said they're putting themselves in draft hell. You're right, they are doing that, which is stupid on their part. But because they're going to be in that middle zone where you're kind of getting the scraps of what everybody else is going to be picking up. So it's a hard place to be. But it's weird that they're, 16th. I mean, fuck. It seems like they're really making a push to prove themselves this year. I don't know how long it's going to last, but Wilson's best game of the year was yesterday, 190 yards and 2 touchdowns. And they're saying he's the Russell Wilson of old. Well, he is. From 2013, that's basically what Russ's numbers were. His numbers were terrible when he left Seattle. I think he had 16 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 3 for 2,400 yards on the season. I don't think that it's a long-lived success for them right now, but they're playing a little bit better than they were. What's surprising to me is that their defense made a complete transformation during the Chiefs game. I understand, because we just played them 2 weeks prior to that, and we weren't playing good by any means on offense, But for them to put three games together and then to go out and beat Buffalo. Now, Buffalo did hand them that game similar to what we did. It was almost identical, five turnovers. You got to think about it from that perspective. It was five turnovers. If you gift somebody the ball and the field position, I mean, here's another thing that I think people are missing out on too. They gifted them the ball five times, five turnovers. But they also had multiple situations where they were put in great field position and did not score off of that. So it's kind of a give and take on that end of it. Did Russell Wilson do enough to win? Yes. Would he have if there wouldn't have been five turnovers? Absolutely not. You're not going to beat a team with 190 yards and two touchdowns. He was gifted so much in that game that it was almost impossible to lose. Similar to how he beat us, or they beat us. They were gifted everything. Five turnovers. Good field position. Enough to squeak through and win a game. And by that point with us, our defense was gassed. They were out on the field for like 39 minutes of the game, if not a little longer. So they were gassed. Similar to what happened to Buffalo yesterday, is that their defense was gassed. Josh Allen just continually handed the ball over to him, and they squeaked out a win. Do I feel like this is something that's going to continue? I do not. What do you think?
Look, here's the thing about the Broncos. Are they playing better? Yeah. Is Russell Wilson putting up good numbers over the last three games? Yeah, he has like six touchdowns, no interceptions, seven touchdowns, no interceptions. Do I really care that the Broncos are playing better and that Russell Wilson is doing the thing that I told him he should have been doing from the beginning, which is moving out of the pocket and
running the ball?
Yeah, he is, and running the ball. Does that matter to me? No, it doesn't, because you're still a bad football team, and you're going to be in quarterback. You're going to be in that awkward middle ground with your quarterback because you got an aging quarterback that is on the downward spiral of his career, and you gave him $7.5 million, $750 million, or whatever it was, for him to be on the losing end of that contract. Is Sean Payton a good coach? Sure, maybe, whatever. It doesn't matter because you're an irrelevant franchise. So
yeah,
let's just move on.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about the Chargers really quick. I agree with you, Scott. They're still frauds. I agree.
The Chargers are interesting. Herbert slung it. He played a damn good game against the Lions. He was one of the few reasons why they didn't completely get blown out. He had a couple of just mwah, level throws.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert did. And the Chargers are still also one of those teams that's like, I don't know what to make of them. They have offensive talent. I know Keenan Allen got hurt in that game. He walked out with a shoulder. He came back in, but he didn't really – he took snaps, but I don't even think he had a target after he came back in, and it did happen pretty late. So we'll see what happens there. I still don't think the Chargers are making the playoffs either. They should fire their head coach at the end of the year, and maybe they should trade for Bill Belichick.
That's not going to happen. That was something that I wanted to bring up on the show. That will not happen. Bill Belichick will not play in this division. He just won't. He's not going to go up against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He won't do it. There are other teams that I know that he's going to – he said Bieniemy. Bieniemy would do it just to try and spite us. But if he was smart, he wouldn't. But I heard Chicago. I did hear Cleveland. Was a two landing spots for him. Trying to think who the other team was. Titans, weirdly enough. So what I do know that he wants to do is he wants to go somewhere where there is a quarterback that's intelligent, that is a smart player, knows how to win games. Right now, we don't like to talk about NFL teams tanking, because that's just, I mean, we know it happens in the NBA and everybody knows it, but it's not a big topic of conversation in the NFL. right now, again, two teams that are tanking, I absolutely believe they are tanking, is the Patriots and the Giants. I did hear a little bit of, after working with Wack Jones, I can understand he wants to be a smart, absolutely. I did hear there was a little bit of talk about the hot seat with Daboll in New York that would not benefit Belichick unless he could bring in a quarterback of his choice, because they don't have one. I don't know about that, but the Chargers, it's not going to happen. He's not going to go to, he won't go to LA. Just won't happen. But I do know that I can say with almost 100% certainty, he will not be with the Patriots next year from what everybody I've talked to. So we'll just have to see about that. But the Chargers themselves, they played a very good game. But you know what it showed me? It showed me that the Lions are looking at the Chargers from week one to week nine. And then to go in to a team like the Lions that are 7-2, that are supposed to be the for real football team, like this is saying, it makes me a little bit suspect of their defense, because Herbert did put up a lot of points. So I'm not going to take anything away from the Lions, because they are playing better than they played since 1993. But it made me a little suspect of their defense, given the fact that Herbert and that team that has played so badly just miraculously was able to put up, 30-plus points? It's just kind of weird to me. So I would have to see. You said the NFC isn't that great. You're right, it's not. They're not great. There's really four good football teams, and then the rest of them are just there. But I don't know, man. I it made me a little suspect of the Lions. And again, games like that give teams momentum. It gives them false hope. Sometimes it helps them build upon that. I don't know if this is going to necessarily help the Chargers or not, but again, I don't know if they're even going to make the playoffs. So it doesn't, they're not even in the hunt right now. I have to look at that thing again, but I don't think they were even on the board. Were they? Weren't they like 15th or 16th on the playoff hunt or something? Where are they at? Chargers 12th, just behind the Raiders. And the Raiders are 500 right now. So I don't know, man. It's going to be weird. Now we can talk about the Raiders. Frauds. They're still frauds. This team it's a fraudulent team. They have one really good defensive player and one really good offensive player. Well, two good offensive players. They don't have anything else. Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, Josh Jacobs. Who else do you got? Nobody. They're frauds.
Josh McDaniels just seems like a horrible human being. So, it's good that he's no longer in the coaching realm. And so, it's just like a lighthearted story that they've got this guy who has sort of been who seems to be deserving for this position. He seems like a guy that the players really like, and all of that is a good story. And then I remember it's the Raiders and I don't care about them. So I guess good for them for winning two games, but you beat the Jets and you beat the Giants.
Yeah. So it's not like you,
congratulations. You swept New York City, who I think have a combined 6 wins. So let's pump the brakes on the Raiders being good. You are not better than any of the current playoff teams. You will not be making the playoffs. You will be picking in the early teens probably, because you've won a couple more games. And if we're looking at their schedule, just the remaining schedule, the remaining games, they play the Dolphins, Chiefs, Vikings, Chargers, Chiefs, Colts.
That's a lot of losses.
And then they face the Broncos again. So The Dolphins are better than you. The Chiefs are better than you. The Vikings are better than you. The Chargers, I mean, the Chargers beat you last time, so maybe you split with them. The Chiefs are still better than you. The Colts are giving good teams a hell of a run. And the Broncos, you beat the Broncos last time. I doubt you're sweeping the Broncos.
Not now. Not now. No. Did you see what this just put up? He said, I saw that Mark Davis regrets his decision not to hire Rich.
Bisaccia?
Bisaccia. Yeah. I agree. And I saw that. And look, why would you not? That was mind-boggling to me. He brought that team out of hell and was able to get those guys on track with Derek Carr.
Yeah, there so many things went wrong with that. That was the Henry Ruggs. I mean, that was anything and everything seemed to happen. And yeah, he should have been hired as the head coach. And it didn't even seem like he was given a chance.
He wasn't given a chance. And you know what? I don't think, looking at the remaining schedule that they have, there's no way AP is going to get a chance. There's no way he's getting a shot at a head coaching job with that organization. He's already looking for another head coach right now. He's made that very clear. When asked, who are you looking at or what are you doing for a head coach next year? He says, we're in the process of interviewing. We're considering all possibilities. That tells me that Antonio Pierce doesn't have this job. Davis understands strength of schedule. He's stupid. Probably a pretty good businessman, but football savvy he is not. But he also understands what strength of schedule is. And yes, you just went out and beat two teams with a combined 6 wins. Whoop-de-fucking-do. You did nothing. You really proved absolutely nothing. You proved that your team is hyped up because they don't have a dickhead in the building anymore. But it doesn't make them any better than they are. Harbaugh, yes, that could actually happen. I can see that happening. And I did want to touch on that a little bit with Harbaugh because apparently that 3-game suspension is now turning into an investigation because they came out after the 3-game suspension with an interim head coach and beat the brakes off of somebody. So all the clout, all the talk behind him cheating and all this other shit, that's going to turn into kind of a situation, but he's definitely out of college football next year. Can he come in there and do this? Absolutely. Now, the question's going to be, will he play coach for the Raiders, knowing their history with coaches? 21 head coaches since 2000? Or no, I'm sorry, 13 head coaches since 2002. They've had 13 head coaches. Now it's 14 with Antonio Pierce. If you're a smart guy and you're sitting back and you're going, okay, wait a minute. Do I really want to go to an organization that I can't build because they're going to fire me in 2 years? I can't make any decisions. I can't do what I need to do. I don't know if he'll come. Mark Davis is going to have a really hard time finding somebody to coach that football team that has any clout, that has any experience, any type of a resume. He's going to have a hard time finding somebody to coach at football.
Eric Bieniemy to the Raiders.
And that might happen. That might happen because I did hear that you're right, Harbaugh will protect himself. I did hear that they're going to fire Ron Rivera, and the deal was with Bieniemy that he was going to get that job. They had planned on firing Rivera after the season anyway, but the job was his if he could turn that offense around. They've got, what, 4 wins? He hasn't done much. But I keep hearing Sam Howell's the quarterback of the future. I had never even heard of Sam Howell before he went to Washington. Didn't even know who he was. Had no clue who the fuck he was. Is he balling? I don't know. I don't watch him enough, but
he's looked much better this year than he did all of last year. And I think that he deserved. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of credit for the offensive production that he has.
Maybe Sam it is. Howell, I don't know. But right,
he does take too many sacks. He stands in the pocket too long. He has sort of that old Happy Russell Wilson in him, where he holds onto the ball for way too long and moves out of clean pockets like Russell Wilson did back in the day. But yeah, I mean, he looks like a different quarterback now.
Well, I will say this, and I agree, because at one point prior to this bye week of the Chiefs, he was actually Patrick Mahomes was third in passing. Sam Howell passed him in passing yards. He went to second prior to this weekend. Now, I don't know where everybody stands now. I haven't looked at who the passing leaders are, but he was second. It was who the hell was number one? I don't remember who number one was now, but it was then Sam Howell, then Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know where it stands right now. I just think the Raiders are going to have a really hard time finding a head coach, and it may be Bienemy. Maybe he will go there. I don't know. If he's offered the position and he accepts, it, why wouldn't you if it's a head coaching position? Because you've never been one. I don't know if that's what's going to happen or not. If he doesn't get to stay in Washington, you know, the new head coach may not, whoever that new head coach may be, if it's not him, may not want to keep him there. I don't know. We don't know how that's going to play out. It's just going to, you know, everybody, I think the expectations put on him for a first-year offensive coordinator with 100% of the play-calling abilities was a little too much. That's just my opinion. But who knows, man? I mean, you never know what's going to happen until it does.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was just a very weird weekend of football. I don't know what else to say. Some of the teams you expected. I will say this. There's two guys in mind right now. If I had to pick MVPs right now, which it is what it is. It's just something that, you know, it's no different than anything else. It's great. You're an MVP, but if you don't get where you need to be, it doesn't really do you a whole lot of good. But I will say this. If you can go, I know it's a quarterback driven award. I get that. So CJ Stroud right now is the leading MVP candidate. But if I were to pick an MVP right now, I'd pick Myles Garrett. Nobody's playing better than him on the defensive side of the ball. No one. As a single individual, he is the most valuable player for that football team. It's not Deshaun Watson. It's not anyone else. It's him. He is leading the pack for the Cleveland Browns. Yes, in the NFL, I would pick him. I would pick him as an MVP right now. He is the equivalent to me of what's his name with the Rams? Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
When Aaron Donald was up for MVP and didn't get it because of quarterbacks. He is playing lights out football. If it wasn't for him, that defense wouldn't be nearly as good as it is. But if you look at the matrix and what it's supposed to be, most valuable player for your team and in that position for your team, right now he's leading the pack. CJ Stroud, absolutely. Rookie of the year, MVP. He continues on this path that he's on right now. I mean, the kid's got, what, 3 game-winning drives already, or maybe 4? And it's his rookie year. Playing lights out football. But if I had to go with a defensive guy, it would be Myles Garrett. That guy is just, he's fucking crazy good. He really is. He's athletic. He's fearless, extremely intelligent, understands offenses, every offense he plays against. I don't know, man. I like the way he plays football. I really enjoy the way he plays football. I wish he was on our football team. I really do. He's a game wrecker in all aspects.
Yeah.
He's a game wrecker.
I mean, yeah.
So
I don't have any. Wish I had more to say, but yeah, you're right.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, he's dangerous. He's a dangerous motherfucker. I wouldn't want to go up against that guy. I don't know any football team that would want to go up against him. I don't know any I don't know an offensive lineman out there right now that says, man, I can't wait to get up against fucking Myles Garrett. I hope and pray he doesn't break my ankles. Because that's exactly what everybody thinks when they're out there. Quarterbacks, it's like a scene out of Happy Gilmore. When they see him, they're scared. You can see the look in their eyes that they're just fucking scared. He puts the fear of God in you. I love the way he plays the game. What do you say? What do you got?
I don't have anything else to add. I'm just happy we're done with the ridiculous Brock Purdy stuff. So I'm just happy we're done with that.
Hey, man, he had a hell of a game last week.
I'm so happy that nobody is like, Brock Purdy, the guy that's not even the best player on his team, is the most valuable player in the league. Oh, that guy. I'm so happy we're done with that, and we can all move on, and we're all better people because of it. Thank you, NFL world, for finding your brain on the ground and sticking it back in your head. Because
you know what's funny is when you look at it, he lost Trent Williams and Deebo Samuels, right? Those are the two players he actually lost. I mean, on offense. And that just took him down for three straight games. But when he got Deebo back and he got Trent back, he played lights out football.
Yeah, when he got the three best players on the team back. Wow, crazy.
That's my point. It's almost like
he's not a great player himself. Oh, exactly. What do I know? Yeah. I'm just some dude.
I'm not going to completely cut him down because he's playing a hell of a lot better than a guy in New York and playing a hell of a lot better, well, both guys in New York, and then Mac Jones. So, but he's in a better system. He's in a very quarterback-friendly system. So, anyway, regardless, San Francisco somehow got back in the mix again with talking about playoffs and Super Bowls again because they won a game and they won it in pretty, strong fashion. But I don't see that happening. I will say this. Watching that football game, I remembered why I love Charvarius Ward so much. He's such a good player, man. Good dude and a good player. He deserved the contract he got. He really did. I know we weren't going to give it to him, but he deserved that money. He's fucking phenomenal. He's a great player. He may not be the ball hawk that everybody, but he has a few more. He actually has more interceptions now this year than he's had. I think he had the entire time he was with the Chiefs. But he's so good at keeping people out of the end zone and breaking passes up and just being right there and not drawing penalties. They got a good football team over there. They just have to make sure it stays together and not everybody just continually gets hurt. Oh, and by the way, DeSean Jackson left the game in a boot because he did get injured at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he had a boot on when he left the stadium. So I don't know how bad that injury is going to be, but he gets injured a lot. And I don't know if anybody notices that, but he gets injured a lot. He's extremely injury prone. I actually thought maybe he lost some of his drive and his determination to play the game. It's just injuries. Because he played well in that second half until he got plummeted. And then his ankle got twisted and he left in a boot. So I don't know where that's going to leave him come this week. I bet he's wishing he had a bye week right now. But just have to see. That being said, I don't know what else we got, man.
That's it for me.
Well, I am done. We will talk to you guys again on Thursday, I believe. Wait a minute. Yeah, Thursday. We'll have something to talk about, I'm sure. Thursday night football. So we'll talk about that. Make sure you guys tune in to the – make sure you download the PSF app and actually interact. Be involved. It's a lot of fun. We're Manning casting the shit out of this thing. So make sure you're there. Pretty easy to download. Doesn't cost you a damn thing. You get to interact live, audio, video. It's a lot of fun. Thiz is on there. I'm on there. Quentin would get off his ass. He could be on there too. I don't know why he doesn't ever want to come on, but, it is what it is. You get to talk about football during the game, live, and say whatever you want to say. We're not bound by anybody's rules. So come on and enjoy yourself. With that being said, we will talk to you guys again tomorrow night on PSF and Thursday night on Chiefs Focus Live. Peace out, everybody.